All right, if you have your Bibles today, if you want to go ahead and turn to 2 Chronicles. I know y'all thought I was going to say Matthew, didn't you? Messing with you, see? We really are. We're going to be in 2 Chronicles this morning, chapter 20. So go ahead and find that. We haven't been in the Old Testament in a while, but this is just, we'll get back to Matthew next week, Lord willing, okay? And it's just, this passage has just been on my heart. I actually preached this sermon. It's always going to be different. It's not going to be the same, but I preached this sermon this week at a revival service at my home church at Antioch Baptist Church on Thursday night. And I thought I was done with it, closed it up, started going back through Matthew, and the Lord said, no, there's somebody at Fork Union that needs to hear that as well. Not because I said it, but because God said it. If you remember, I don't know if you probably, if you do or not, but when we had our Christmas cantata, I shared this passage, I just shared briefly about this passage. We didn't read it. I just kind of told the story, and we talked about the power of going before our battles in worship. And so today, or this, the last couple of weeks, the Lord maybe actually kind of study into it a little bit deeper, and we're just going to go over the things that jumped out at me through reading this chapter. So if you're like me, we've been following the life and the ministry of Jesus as we've been going through Matthew. We see that people, they didn't always get it. They didn't get the people. It was just our human nature. We doubt. We don't understand it. We can't grasp the greatness of Jesus Christ and who he is and what he can do. Even his disciples who saw him perform these miracles, they would see him, you know, heal somebody or cast out demons in one town, and they'd get to the next town and they were already doubting if Jesus could do it again, right? Well, if you look throughout the history of the Bible, you'll see that human beings have always been like this, and they always will be here in this broken world. When the disciples knew that Jesus could heal people, when he saw them rebuke a storm and just say, stop, and the storm stops and there's a peace, when they see Jesus himself walking on top of the water, doing things that we consider impossible, they still doubt him. And they still doubted him, and they would get discouraged when the next trial or the next, the mountain that was in their way or whatever it was came along. Well, it was the same with the Israelites in the Old Testament. They saw God do mighty miracles. They heard their ancestors talk about it, and on that God was with Israel. Even all the surrounding armies and all other places knew that God was with Israel and the Israelites. But they still doubted God time and time again. They still turned their back on God time and time again. They would say, they'd get distracted. They'd start worshiping things of the world. Or they'd make their own idols, or they'd be disobedient. They'd do just like your pastor does every week. Just like I know, even if you don't want to admit it, that you do during the week. We doubt God sometimes. We turn our back on him, and they're no different than we are. And we're no different than them. We so often forget how great our God really is. So often I think we forget, I know I do, I forget about the victory that we really have in Jesus Christ. We forget all about the victory that is ours when Jesus has already carried our burden. We'll carry burdens, we'll carry our struggles, we'll carry our sin, our shame, our guilt, whatever it is. Whatever we're dealing with, we'll try to fight it, the battle in our life, we'll fight it all on ourselves, and we'll try to fight it on ourselves, or by ourselves. But what we forget is that when Jesus Christ carried that cross up that hill, he carried it for us. We have to believe that this morning. We have to believe this. So this morning in 2 Chronicles, we're going to look at most of the chapter 20. Don't anybody leave, okay? It shouldn't be much longer than any other sermon, but we're just going to highlight the parts that God has laid on my heart this week. And we're going to see a great example of how to handle those times when we feel like we are discouraged, maybe when we feel like something is surrounding us or we're overwhelmed. Maybe we feel like we're already defeated and we're on the losing side of the battle. Because I don't know about you, I don't know if you've noticed, if you watch the news at all, if you've been on social media, but there are some crazy times that we are living in. Amen? There's political battles. There's racial battles. There's riots. There's people scared of a virus. There's financial struggles. There's a messed up school season, school year. I mean, everything has been crazy this year, it seems like. So we're going to talk about how do we fight these battles. So the title of the sermon, if you are a note taker, even if you're not, I would encourage you to get a pen. If you've got it, get your phone out, whatever. And I want you to just at least remember this, because this isn't something I got from a book. The Lord laid this on my heart this week, and it's an important thing. So the title of the sermon is this: Five Steps to Victory. So we're going to look at five different things that the scripture, that the king does here in this passage, that led him into victory. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll get into the word. Father, we just love you again. I just thank you. Lord, I know sometimes even I get tangled up in my words, and I get mispronounced names that you're probably going to hear in just a few minutes when I read through the Old Testament. But God, this message, I'm so many thoughts are in my heart and in my mind right now that I just need your help this morning, that I will get through it and make some kind of sense of it. Because, Lord, we live in a world where we get so beat down, and we need to be reminded that there is victory in Christ this morning. Lord, we need to be reminded. I just pray that you would break through this morning, that you would break through our hardened hearts, and that we put aside our calluses and all those things that the world builds up on us, that our sin builds up, that our doubt, that our anxiety, our worry. Tear all that down this morning, and let us receive the truth amongst all the lies. Drown out the lies this morning. Lord, we rebuke Satan in the name of Jesus. He will have no place here today, and that we would have no other encounter this morning but with your Holy Spirit as we go through your perfect and holy scriptures. In Jesus' name, amen. So, 2 Chronicles chapter 20. We're going to go through this a little bit different than we normally do. We're not going to go actually line by line through the whole thing. I'm just going to jump out. So we're going to do verse 1 through 3, okay, and I'm going to read that. It says this: war with surrounding nations. Starting at verse 1, it says, after this, the armies of the Moabites and the Ammonites and some of the Meunites declared war on Jehoshaphat. Messengers came and told Jehoshaphat, a vast army from Edom is marching against you from beyond the Dead Sea. And they're already at Hazan Tamar. I think that's how you say it. This was another name for En-Gedi. Jehoshaphat was terrified by this news and begged the Lord for guidance. All right, so what we want to do, I want to stop here for just a second. If you can just picture what's going on, okay? So imagine being a king. Imagine if you weren't even a king. Imagine if you're just chilling at your house. You're at home. You're just enjoying the day. And all of a sudden, somebody calls you up, or somebody rolls in your house and says, there's not one, there's not two, but there's three armies that have teamed up, and they're coming after you. They're not only coming after you, but they're coming after your family. They're coming after everything that you've worked for, and they're coming to kill you. Not only have they teamed up, okay, not only have they teamed up, but they're already halfway there. They're already on the way, so you don't even have time to really think. You're just like, oh my gosh, they're already coming. So many times, isn't this how bad news hits us? Like sometimes we get this bad news, or somebody tells us some bad news, or a doctor tells us bad news or whatever, and we already feel like we're defeated. Before the battle even comes to us, we already feel like I'm the underdog. I'm already whipped. Can you only imagine getting this kind of news? Jehoshaphat, the scripture says he was what? He was terrified. He was terrified. Am I the only one that's ever been terrified of something, or maybe stayed up all night, or had trouble sleeping because I'm worrying myself to death about something? There's somebody here this morning that is terrified about something. Something is keeping them up at night. There is something that maybe someone who's received some kind of bad news here today that needs to hear the truth of God. There's somebody here that's in the middle of a battle, or maybe they think a battle is coming, or they heard a battle or a struggle or a trial is headed their way, and they need to be encouraged this morning. Not by me, but by the word of God. Maybe they're terrified, already convinced that they're defeated. If that's you today, let me tell you something. The Lord laid this message on my heart for you today. In just the first few verses, we see Jehoshaphat had gotten this bad news. And we see he's worried, he's upset. They said that he was terrified. Terrified. That's beyond just a little worried or scared, right? Terrified means you are just like almost trembling, like, what am I going to do? But be encouraged this morning. From here on out, we're not going to focus on the problem. We're not going to focus on the problem. We're going to focus on the solution. So look with me at verse 3, 4, 5, and 6. We're going to read 3 again, but we're going to read 3 through 6. This is what it says. Jehoshaphat was terrified by the news, and he begged the Lord for guidance. He also ordered everyone in Judah to begin fasting. So people from all the towns of Judah came to Jerusalem to seek the Lord's help. Verse 5 goes on to say this: Jehoshaphat stood before the community of Judah and Jerusalem in front of the new courtyard at the temple of the Lord. He prayed, "O Lord, God of our ancestors, you are the God who is in heaven. You are ruler of all the kingdoms of the earth. You are powerful and mighty, and no one can stand against you." So here, right here in these first few verses, don't start packing up your purses and stuff yet. But we see four out of the five steps to victory right here in this one little chunk of scripture. Number one is this. What did he do? He was terrified. It said he begged the Lord for guidance. Number one, you want to walk in victory? Go and seek the Lord's guidance. Remember Matthew chapter 7? We were just there half a year ago. Ask and it will be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. This is a promise that Jesus gave us. He's telling us to seek the Lord's guidance. Number two, we fast. We should be so devoted to seeking God's guidance in our life that we put everything, even food, aside. Now, I told the people at Antioch, I mean, I like to eat. If y'all can't tell, I like to eat. When we, you know, I'm a Baptist preacher. People show up with pies and casseroles at my house all the time, and I eat every bit of it. Praise God. But I'm telling you, there's power when you put all that aside, your stomach's growling, you put all that aside, and you say, every time my stomach growls, I'm going to pray, and I'm going to ask God about this situation that I'm going through, this battle that I'm dealing with. There is power in that. But remember, Matthew chapter 6, we talked about that. Jesus told us to fast. He didn't say, maybe if you want to fast. He said, when you fast, okay, so we should fast. But he promises us this, if we do it with the right motives, if we're not going around saying, "Whoo, man, I'm so hungry because I'm really devoted to the Lord, and I want everybody to know that I'm so devoted, I'm not eating for 24 hours, or I'm not eating for 2 days." If we don't do that and we just focus, and if we don't tell anybody, we clean up and we look healthy and we say, "You know what, every time my stomach growls, I'm going to pray to God, and he's going to give me the strength to get through it." God promises, Jesus promised to reward us. Okay, he promised. He said, you will be rewarded if you fast with the right motives. Number one, we go to the Lord and we ask for his guidance. Number two, we fast. Number three, it's right there in this scripture. We go to the Lord in prayer. I always say this, the word of God, the Bible, the scriptures, okay? Now look, in this time, they didn't have all the scriptures that we have, right? They didn't have all that. But the Word of God, the New Testament, the holy and perfect scriptures and prayer, they always go beside each other and they go together. So number three is this. We devote ourselves to prayer and we dig into God's Word. Psalm 119, 105, we know what this says. It says, your Word is a lamp to guide my feet. All right, so if you never open up your Bible and it's got dust on it, how can it guide your feet? How can it be a lamp before you if you never use it and you never go and dig into it and see what God wants for you? Your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6 says this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. So number three, remember, pray, spend time in the Word. Number four, you want victory? We have to stay connected with the church. You have to stay connected. Where did they go when all the trouble started? When he got this bad news, where did the king go? Look at it. Look back in there. He went to the courtyard of the new temple. He went to church, right? And all the people came and they surrounded each other and they came together in the church at the temple. You want to be defeated by the enemy? If you want to be defeated by the enemy, trust in your own understanding. If you think you want to, you say, you know what? I can go through life. I don't need God. What you're going to end up with, you're going to be defeated by Satan. You're going to be defeated by the one who wants to make you think that. But if you want to be defeated, trust in your own understanding. See how far that gets you. You want to be defeated by the enemy, neglect your prayer life. Neglect time in the Word of God. You want to be defeated by the enemy, let him convince you that you don't need to go to church with the rest of the hypocrites. I don't need to go down there. Those people are hypocrites. Or I don't, somebody offended me or they left me out or whatever. I'm not going back to church. That is a lie from the enemy. Because that's what he wants. He wants us separated. What does the wolf go after in the herd? He goes after the one that's straggling out by themselves, right? Right, Roger? The weakling, the one that's all separated from the herd, that's the one that gets attacked. Jehoshaphat gives us a perfect example of how we are to be victorious in our battles. And number four, we got to stick with it. You got to be connected with a community of believers, community of faith. Next, if you look at verse 7 through 12, Jehoshaphat, we see him, he's talking to God in prayer. And we're not going to read through that. I'm just going to recap, but I would encourage you to go back just for time's sake and read that this week and see what he says. I'm going to highlight a few things. You'll see him asking God this. God, did you really bring us this far to be killed? That's basically what he's saying. Okay, I'm paraphrasing. Did you really bring us through all this? Did you bring Israel, Israel and all of us this far just to see us killed? Lord, I know you've saved us many times before, but what about this time? This time is different. What are we going to do? But I love what he says at the end of verse 12. Go there to verse 12. He says this to God. We are powerless against this mighty army. We are powerless. In the book of James, it tells us to what? Humble ourselves before the Lord, and he will lift us up in honor. When we come to that place and we say, God, I am powerless against my sin. Lord, I'm powerless against the enemy. I'm powerless against the temptations and all the things that I'm dealing with. Or maybe the struggle of my mind or the addiction or whatever else I'm dealing with. When we bring that to the Lord and we say, God, I admit to you today that I am powerless. I can't do it. He goes on to say this. We don't know what to do. We don't know what to do. How many times have you done that? I've been there all the time. Like, God, I don't know what to do. What do you want me to do? But listen to what he says at the end of that. He says, but we are looking to you for help. We're looking to you for help. You see, Jehoshaphat knew where his help came from. It reminds me of Psalm 121, verse 1 and 2. It says, I look up to the mountains. Does my help come from there? Verse 2, he says, my help comes from the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. He didn't just say who made the mountains. He said who made more than that, the heavens and the earth. That's where my help comes from. Now remember, this time of prayer, when Jehoshaphat is praying and he's talking to God through all this, he is in the temple or in front of the temple with other godly people. See, he was with his church family and they were gathered together and they were praying. You see, there's power when we come together as believers and we have something going on in our community. There's something going on in a believer's life. There's something going on in the church, whatever it is. And we come together as the flock and we form together. We circle up the wagons and we take it to the Lord in prayer. When we do this, God always shows us his faithfulness. Always he will show us his faithfulness. In verses 13 through 16, you'll see that the Spirit of the Lord comes upon this man. And I think it's Jehaziel is how you say his name. And he stands up and he says this in verse 15. He said, listen, all you people. Now remember, this is while they're standing there praying at the temple together. They're all together praying, crying out to God. He says, that the Spirit of the Lord comes upon this guy and he says this, listen, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem, listen, King Jehoshaphat, this is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid. Don't be discouraged by this mighty army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. The battle is not yours, but God. You see, God uses all of us differently in the body. You know, Paul talked about that. He talked about how there's different parts of the body. Jesus talked about it. When we come together, all of our different gifts, some of our strength, our weaknesses, God takes all that and he puts it together and he uses it for the body of Christ. And he uses it as the church. This isn't the church. This is the church right here. We come together and we fight battles together. And we fight the enemy together as an army. I remember that old song. Lily sings it all the time. I'm in the Lord's army. Yes, sir. Y'all ever heard that? We went to an army surplus store. I go to the beach. That's where I go, to an army surplus store, because it's cool, right? The camping gear and all kinds of stuff you can find in there. And she found a general's hat, like a dress uniform of a hat. It looked like it was maybe from the army. And Lily's in there singing that song, marching around in the store. Sometimes we have to remind ourselves that we're in the Lord's army. So if you're going through a battle this morning, I want you to do this. Let's just stop for a minute and don't just look at me right now. Look around at your neighbor. Look at somebody sitting next to you. Look around at all the people that are sitting here. Somebody is going through a battle this morning. Somebody sitting next to you is going through a battle. And I want to tell you this morning, look around, because you have a church family who is here for you. You have a church family who is here wanting to fight with you, but you got to let them know what's going on. We got to be real with each other. Maybe you're on top of the mountain right now and you're not going through a battle. That's great. Praise God. But look around again, because somebody next to you is going through a battle and they need you. They need you to be next to them while they're going through the battle. Galatians chapter 6, verse 2 says this: share each other's burdens. We are to share each other's burdens, okay? So a lot of times we like to come to church and we like to act like we got it all together, right? We go through life and we're like, I'm good. Everybody, listen to me, especially believers, needs other believers that they can go to and they can be real. They won't be judged, and they can say, I can say, Brother Dwayne, I'm dealing with this, man. I'm struggling with this. Corbin, I'm struggling. Budgie, can I call you, man? I need to talk to you. I'm dealing with this temptation, or I'm dealing with this struggle, or I did this, or I said that, or what do I do in this situation? We need that connection in the family that we can come and get each other's guidance. But you got to make sure it's the right kind of person and a believer that will tell you not just what you want to hear, but what you need to hear. Look at verse 17 back in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Verse 17, he says this: but you will not even need to fight. Take your positions, then stand still and watch the Lord's victory. He is with you, O people of Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid or discouraged. Go out against them tomorrow, for the Lord is with you. There's somebody here today, I know I do, I need to be reminded that the Lord is with me. The Lord is with you this morning. You don't even need to fight the battle. Take your position, stand still, and watch the Lord's victory today. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. Say, the Lord is with me today. Can y'all say that out loud today? The Lord is with me. Let's try that again. The Lord is with me. Sometimes we have to declare that into the battle. Sometimes we have to declare that to ourselves so we'll remember that. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged, because the Lord who created the heavens and the earth is with you, and he's on your side. He's a good, good father. So in case you thought that was where we were going to wrap it up, you were wrong again. I want to remind you that we are on verse 17 out of 30, okay? But that's a good thing this morning, Lisa. That's a good thing. Because it keeps getting better. And we're getting ready to see what that fifth step. I'm like one of those movies that, like, you know, the whole movie, they wait to the very end to let you know, like, the last, so that way you don't leave, you know. If I gave you all of the five steps right from the very beginning, y'all would have just been like, okay, let's go get some lunch. We're getting ready to see what the fifth step of victory, or to victory, is. Look with me at verse 18. Then King Jehoshaphat bowed low with his face to the ground, and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem did the same, worshiping the Lord. Can I ask you something this morning? When is the last time? Be honest with yourself for just a second. When is the last time that you bowed low to the ground, got on your knees, even put maybe your head on the ground and you bowed down? Or maybe if you're not able to do that, you got bad knees like me, maybe just bowing down and truly worshiped God for who he is. Think about that. I'm not talking about singing through a Christian song. I'm not talking about listening to a worship song. I'm not talking about hearing your favorite bluegrass song or hymn that's a gospel song. I'm talking about worshiping God. Now, this could be in a corporate setting like this at church, where you just let it all go, and if you want to lift your hands to God and you say, God, I just want to sing to you and worship you. Or whether it's in your home or driving down the road in your car, and you just want to, and you're truly singing to God, worshiping him. When is the last time that you truly worshiped the Lord for who he is and how great he really is? If you haven't, or maybe it's just been a while, you're missing out on one of the biggest blessings that we as believers have, to just worship the King of Kings. Guess what? A little news flash for you. That's what you're going to be doing for all eternity. All right? So we might want to start practicing, right? Because for all eternity, when we see Jesus Christ and we see his holy splendor and we see how perfect God and how almighty he really is, you know what we're going to do? We ain't going to ask him about, you know, God, did you have a belly button? You know? Oh, God, why did you create ticks? No. We're going to fall on our face And we're going to fall down on our face and we're going to worship him because he is so awesome. He is so powerful. This is how we fight our battles. This is the way to victory. We beg, number one, we beg the Lord for guidance. We fast, we pray, and we read the word. We stay connected with our church and we worship the Lord. When we do this, we're going to keep going through the scripture. You're going to see, not only do we walk in victory in the middle of our trials, in the middle of our battle, but when the battle is over, we walk away with more than we had when we came into the battle. James chapter 1, verse 2 through 4 says this: Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. I can guarantee one thing. I bet when Jehoshaphat heard that those armies had teamed up, they were already on their way to kill him, he won't count it all joy. It says he was terrified. It's unnatural for us to count it all joy and say, thank you, God, for this trial you're sending my way. But we have to force ourselves to think about what God wants to do through that battle. You see, when God fights our battles, when we see God fight our battle, what we do is we begin to trust him just a little bit more. When we just put our trust in him and we see his goodness and we see his faithfulness and we come out on the other side, you know, the hindsight's 20/20. But when we get on the other side of the trial and we say, man, that's why I went through that. Our faith grows a little bit stronger, and we realize God really didn't abandon us. Don't take my word for it. Take God's word for it. Let's read the rest of this all the way from verse 20, and we're going to go down to verse 30, and that's where we're going to close up. So verse 20 goes on to say this: Early the next morning, bear with me because we're going to read all the way through. Early the next morning, the army of Judah went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. On the way, Jehoshaphat stopped and said, Listen to me, all the people of Judah and Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you will be able to stand firm. Believe in his prophets, and you will succeed. After consulting the people, the king appointed singers to walk ahead of the army, singing to the Lord and praising him for his holy splendor. This is what they sang: Give thanks to the Lord, his faithful love endures forever. At that very moment, they began to sing and give praise. The Lord caused the armies of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir to start fighting among themselves. The armies of Moab and Ammon turned against their ally from Mount Seir and killed every one of them. After they had destroyed the army of Seir, they began attacking each other. So when the army of Judah arrived at the lookout point in the wilderness, all they saw were dead bodies lying on the ground as far as they could see. Not a single one of the enemy had escaped. King Jehoshaphat and his men went out to gather the plunder. They found vast amounts of equipment, clothing, and other valuables, more than they could even carry. There was so much plunder that it took them 3 days just to collect it all. On the fourth day, they gathered in the Valley of Blessing, which got its name that day because the people praised and thanked the Lord there. It is still called the Valley of Blessing today. Then all the men returned to Jerusalem with Jehoshaphat leading them, overjoyed, and the Lord had given them victory over their enemies. They marched into Jerusalem to the music of harps and trumpets, and they proceeded to the temple of the Lord. When all the surrounding kingdoms heard that the Lord himself had fought against the army of Israel, against the enemies of Israel, the fear of God came over them all. So Jehoshaphat's kingdom was at peace, for his God had given him rest on every side. As the worship band of John comes back up as we get ready to close, we got to remember this morning, church. When we proclaim the goodness of God in the midst of our battles, and we proclaim that, you know what, we give thanks to God and we say, your faithful love endures forever, and we worship in the middle of a battle, it confuses the enemy. It confuses the devil. You know what he's used to? He's used to running rampant and running all over people and controlling people and convincing people that they got to turn to the bottle, they got to turn to the pill bottle, that they got to turn to an alcohol bottle, maybe they got to turn to pornography, or maybe they got to turn to this, or they got to turn to that, or whatever it is. That's what the devil is used to getting away with. Or maybe just keeping you all awake all night because you're worried sick about something. this band that went before the troops was singing a simple song that kept proclaiming over and over the truth, an eternal truth of who God is. Give thanks to the Lord. His faithful love endures forever. See, the devil, what he wants to do, we know that. Jesus told us what? He came to kill us, to steal our joy, right? To rob us. He wants to steal your joy this morning. And when we refuse to allow him to steal it, when we say, no, devil, you're not going to take my joy. You're not going to do that. And we continue to worship the Lord. What you're doing is you're walking in victory. That's what it means to walk in the victory of Christ. And what's even better is that we just read, you always walk away stronger than you were before you came into the battle. When we learn to do this and we worship the Lord through the middle of our trial, even no matter what kind of news we get, we say, God, you are still good and I'm going to worship you for who you are. Don't take my word for it. Look in the Bible. Read the book of Job. He was faithful to God through all of that. And look what happened at the very end. God was faithful to him in his timing. Look at the passage that we just read today. I'd encourage you to go back and read over that again this week and let the Lord speak to you. Not only did they experience victory, but it took them 3 days to carry away the extra blessings that God has given them. If we're in the middle of a trial this morning, if you're in the middle of some kind of battle this morning, let me tell you something. There not only is there victory for you, but God has a blessing for you on the other side of it that is more than you can even carry away in one day. The scripture tells us that they left. Wow, they didn't leave. They didn't come back and say, "Oh man, I'm exhausted from that battle. I'm tired, or I'm defeated." They left overjoyed, and they lived in peace. I remember Corbin said to me one time, if I had to use one word to describe salvation, it would be peace. It's having peace in your heart. There's something special. There's something powerful when you can go home and you can rest and truly say you have peace in your heart. It reminds me of when Jesus was in the garden. I promise we're closing. When he was in the garden, he was praying before he was arrested and eventually hung on the cross. When Peter wanted to hack off somebody's ear, right? And he wanted to fight the battle by himself. Jesus said, no, God will fight the battle. Let me put that ear back on for you, buddy. Sorry about that. God will fight the battle. When he walked out of that tomb on that third day, guess what? Jesus was walking the ultimate walk of victory. And he wasn't just walking the ultimate walk of victory for himself. He was walking it for you. And he was walking it for you. And he was walking it for everybody who's ever listening online, whoever will hear about Jesus Christ and will believe in him and accept him as their Lord and Savior. He was walking victory. He was walking that walk of victory for you. So no matter what battle we're facing in this sin-infested, nasty, broken world, we have victory in Christ. Amen? So when you find yourselves terrified, overrun with anxiety, you're dealing with depression, you're dealing with whatever, when it comes your way, when the battle comes your way, just take a step back. Take a deep breath. And look up to the mountains. Look up to the sky and say, does my help even come from any of that? No, my help comes from the one that created all this. And follow Jehoshaphat's example. Seek the Lord's guidance. Fast. Spend time in the Word and in prayer. Stay connected with your church. Spend time worshiping God for who He is. Not only will you walk in victory, but you will be overjoyed and you'll leave, and forever and ever you'll remember to sing this song. Give thanks to the Lord. His faithful love endures forever. Sometimes you just break into music and just sing it. I don't care if you can't carry a tune in a bucket. It's a joyful noise to the Lord, right? Give thanks to the Lord. His faithful love endures forever. I want to encourage you this morning, if God is working on you, or maybe you just needed to hear that this morning, whatever it is, give it to the Lord this morning.